mile of flapjacks.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah.
I need another beer.
Man, is this guy an idiot.
That same percentage he could butter my biscuits.
Oh, I am going to slide the butter on that shit, and it is going to melt away all over your biscuits. And that's, I feel like that's legit.
Playing games with my heart.
He just take the football, he slang it.
My God, why am I a piece of shit?
Deer in a headlights.
Can you answer the question? Or?
No, I'd rather pitch close to it. What?
Oh, yeah.
Real.
Guys are in the shower, and all of a sudden you hear, Frimbo!
And, yes, we're back. Finally. Again. I say that every week, I think, or every 2 weeks when we come back, but I feel like people pine for our voice.
No, they don't.
You think so?
Nobody does.
No, you don't think anybody pines for a voice? I feel like people pine to hear the accentuating voices that we are able to produce.
The sultry sounds of the midnight hour.
You know what? what was her name on the sex talk? What was her name? What's her name? The one who was like 79 years old and talked about, you know, your grandparents' dildo that she had. You remember that? You know,
the Dear Abby?
No, it's not Dear Abby.
I don't know. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh my God, Doctor! Oh, it's gonna come to me now. You know what? I can guarantee one of our listeners is going, Doctor. I know who it is. I don't know who it is. I don't know. I can't remember her name. But anyways, nonetheless, we do have that sultry voice that people want to hear. And we've got a lot to talk about, of course, because we just do, because we like to hear ourselves talk. And I'm going to tell you, sports has been entertaining. It's always entertaining, but this time of year, it's very entertaining. There's a lot of things going on, and normally this time of year, we would have hockey, basketball.
Dr. Ruth.
Is it Dr. Ruth? No, I don't feel like it's Dr. Ruth. Is it Dr. Ruth?
It is. It's that old lady. Yeah.
Is it Ruth? Is that her name? The doctor, the love
Dr.
show?
Dr. Ruth.
What was the show she was on? What was it called?
Let's see here. I don't know.
Oh, my God. It is Dr. Ruth. Look it up. It is. Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's telling you how to give a hand job and shit.
Yeah.
She's got it.
Yeah, when you were 14 years old, that was the best you could look up.
God, she's got a hand like a crow. looks like an eagle claw.
My God, she's still alive too. Good for her. 86, I guess. Oh my God.
She'd probably curl your toes though.
She could make you sing like you wouldn't believe. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you'd be hitting notes. You'd be hitting notes like the lead singer of Boston. Like you.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Carry on, my fucking wayward son.
Oh man. Anyways, great way to start off the show, Dr. Ruth. But I would like to start off on a good note, and it's funny, this part of the year, like I was just saying, we would normally be talking about hockey, maybe baseball, maybe basketball. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a tournament going on this weekend, a golf tournament, and I want to get right into it because, I had let you know of a conversation I had with some other people earlier this week about, you know, maybe the fact that maybe Mickelson having a big win last week, maybe Mickelson was the big guy in golf. Not even close. And I'm going to tell you that right now in the world, the most trending, the most biggest sports, there is a lot of sports going on this weekend. And even, like, anywhere in the world, and me being a Toronto sports fan, Toronto, specifically Toronto, there's a lot of Toronto sports going on. I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing bigger than Tiger Woods being in contention in a tournament this weekend. Do you disagree with that?
No, that's absolutely right. It's massive.
This Connors guy is Canadian, okay? Canadian.
Where is he from, Bill?
I couldn't give a shit, and I'm going to tell you that right now.
He's from Canada?
He's from Canada, and I'm telling you, and I can guarantee that majority of people who would be watching. Now, there will be some that would argue, including my dearest and most beloved father, who would say, how the hell are you not going for the Canadian this weekend? Because Tiger's going to win. because that's more important. And I don't know who this Connors is, and quite frankly, I don't really care unless he goes on a wicked tear and wins a ton of majors. But as far as I'm concerned, the biggest story of the weekend is that the fact that Tiger Woods, and it's five, right? Fifth tournament back? That after so many years, hasn't won a tournament since 2013, and has actually been playing better every single tournament. And it's been astonishing to watch that the best player who ever lived is back in contention this weekend.
Yeah.
Is that not amazing to watch? Are you not canceling plans tomorrow afternoon to potentially watch Tiger Woods win a tournament?
I am. Yeah, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable what he's doing right now. I can't even tell you, man. I'm just like, and you heard my Sucker Dick Player of the Week like a few months back. I didn't want to see this, man. I didn't want to see Tiger come back and fail. And, man, he's killing it, dude. He's killing it.
He's gotten better. His short game is absolutely superb.
Oh, my God. Man,
does it not look like he's got the finesse that he never really had before? That real soft, you know, like just a soft around-the-green player that he didn't have in his repertoire before, but man, does he look delicate around those greens.
Oh, like God, his putting looks buttery phenomenal. Soft.
What's that?
He's buttery soft. Buttery soft. It's unbelievable. Soft. His hands, man. It's craziness.
He's making the putts, he's never been great off the tee, but he's still driving at what was it, 340, I can't remember the exact number, 340 something off of I think it was 12, I think it was yesterday. It was like huge. I mean,
yeah, he ripped today. I think it was 14. I want to say it was number 14. Mm-hmm. It's a par five. It's a 590 yard par five, and he ripped driver iron into it.
And he doesn't iron. He doesn't look hurt, does he? He doesn't look like he's hurting. No, I don't feel like he's hurting at all.
No, I don't think he is, man. He's playing unbelievable. I can't believe he's one shot back. It's awesome to see, man. He's killing it.
Fifth tournament. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago, how big it would be and how well we thought he was playing up until then. I don't think we could have predicted him being in contention in a fifth tournament. And you would have to imagine, I mean, every sports media, I mean, the Golf Channel, the Golf Network wants to cut away at every 5 minutes. And I understand. I can understand people's that maybe weren't Tiger Woods fans to begin with that are annoyed with the fact that, you know, it's Tiger Woods this, it's Tiger Woods this, it's Tiger Woods this. But it is, because he's the greatest player of all time. And we're talking about what potentially could be the greatest comeback in the history of sports. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a career that most people thought that was absolutely over, done. It was over. There's no way he's coming back. There's no way he's going to get over these injuries. There's no way he's going to be the player he was in 2009 and back. And that still remains to be seen whether he's not, whether he's going to be the same. I don't think he will be ever really the same. But if he's even the slightest of the player that could actually find himself in contention and could potentially compete with players like Roy McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and all these young players, these particular players are in this weekend's tournament. There are some big names in the tournament. That leaderboard looks really nice. Justin Rose, Snedeker. I mean, you've got a potential for a really quality golf match tomorrow to watch. But, I mean, this isn't... I would say this is incredible. If he were to go out and... if he wins tomorrow, it's incredible. And his odds to win a major this year skyrocket incredibly. And I would say that they would, and they should. But I would say even if he plays a decent enough round tomorrow, doesn't fall apart, but plays a good round, a competitive round, even if somebody goes out and beats him just because they played a good round, doesn't he not become... a contender for a major this year?
He's as long as he doesn't wither tomorrow and
like
fade
this
away.
Yeah, does it throw up a +8 tomorrow? +8. Yeah, I would imagine tomorrow. I would imagine after that he is a player to look out for the rest of the season.
I feel like this is a turning point moment too, because if he comes out tomorrow and just fucking kills it. It goes back to, like, old Tiger. One of the things about Tiger that was so impressive back in the day was how afraid everybody was of him. Mm-hmm. You know, he had you beat before the first tee. You know, he had you beat. And it wasn't even just him. It was, like the fucking crowds that just follow that mm-hmm. man around. Like, the coverage, like, everything. Is just, it's the fucking aura. You have to be, if you're playing against him, you have to be fucking on it, because like
special
so Tiger
player.
Woods it Tiger Woods is when leading a major in the final round is 14-1
yeah no absolutely
it, yeah that's the kind of stat where you're like standing on the tee deck like oh fuck.
Unprecedented
fuck you know like imagine like you're a boxer you see Tyson in his prime you're just like for fuck's sakes
so you think his back is okay. Do you think his back is fine?
I don't know, man. When you're ripping, when you're ripping into a par 5 that's 590, and you've got an iron in your hand for your second shot, and you rip it green high, pin high, just off to the right. He's been doing that the last 4 days,
yeah.
3 days, and the tournament before that, we were like, "Holy fuck, man! He is ripping the irons." Like,
it doesn't look like it's hurting. It's not hurting. It doesn't look like it is.
His game right now is like he's got the extra gear when he needs it. He's like pulling it. He's hitting big drives when he wants to, but he was placing the ball all week so far really, really well. He was putting himself in good positions to attack pins. And he's just like being that old Tiger, man. Like he's literally just negotiating the misses and taking advantage when he gets an opportunity. And he's not like doing anything ridiculous. He's not doing anything like, you know, He didn't have to hit a bunch of hero shots, but he was playing to, you know, he just managed his misses, man. He was managing the golf course very well. And then when you need it, he's got 340. You know, usually guys that manage and plot around the golf course don't have that, like, fucking sixth gear to go to when they need a 340. Like, Jim Furyk plots.
Yeah.
Jim Furyk's like 286 with a downhill.
Yep.
With breeze at his back, right?
Yep.
Tiger's like, oh, I'll hit 286 with my fucking 2-iron, and I'll do that all day until I really need, you know, I need a bomb here on this par 5, and then I'll just go 340. What the fuck?
No, it
How do you even deal with that?
How do you deal with that? And how do you deal with something that I would figure, and my assumption is at this point in time, when he was off, when he was injured, when he couldn't play for the last, and let's be honest here, yeah, he came back about a year and a half ago, whatever. Let's be honest here, he hasn't played since 2013. He hasn't really played for a long time. And we're talking about a guy who's been off that whole time, and maybe, yeah, you're right. When he had the back surgery, he couldn't hit those long bomb drives. And you know what? He's having a hard time keeping them on the fairway all the time. But what I really see is that during that time, he spent a lot of time not making a full swing. He made a lot of time putting. He made a lot of time around the greens. And man, does he look good around the greens. He looks so delicate, so like Steve Stricker like when it comes to putting, just smooth, quiet, easy putting strokes, and he just looks comfortable, and everybody knows that a short game is going to be able to do it, and he's always been really creative at finding a way out of a jam, and maybe his driving may never be and probably won't be the most straightest in the world. But if you can do what he can do when it comes to approach shots, when it comes to getting up close to that green, and just the smarts and the brilliance that he's always had, if he can incorporate that into a new game, and Jack Nicklaus said it once, he had to change his game halfway through his career. Tiger Woods has done that. I would imagine that in his 40s, if he stays healthy, it's gonna be very, very interesting. It's looking like he has the ability to be a top 10 player in the world again, if not number one. Let's not get too carried away, but he has the ability to crawl himself up into an everyday, into that everyday talk that. Yes, maybe he might not be that Tiger Woods where you're like, he's going to run away with every tournament. No, but he's going to be there. And that, I would say, golf needs that. It's been a long time. And they have a Tiger Tracker specifically for just Sportsnet. The score app that I have is a Tiger Tracker. It's an app specifically to just Tiger birdies.
Birdies.
Like, it's incredible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's that big to golf. So, like, part of the thing we were talking about the other day is that somebody, I'm not going to mention any names, somebody wanted to have a discussion.
Dad.
About how Phil Mickelson is potentially better for golf than Tiger Woods.
Yeah, continue.
Yeah. So, I
you know what? Rebuttal him. He didn't want to come on the show today.
I know, I heard.
He's got to go to bed. He's got to go to bed. It's early. It's late, you know.
Matlock starts.
Matlock kicked off.
Matlock was on, and it was like, pretty late. So you don't want to miss. I mean, you don't want to miss Matlock, right?
No. His philosophy, and he's not the only one, but I use him as a reserve. I talked to my dad. He likes sports like us, you know. But he's got the old school mentality. But he's got the mentality like, doesn't think golf needs Tiger, and I disagree. And as much as we can't have Tiger forever, I do believe that while we still are able to have Tiger, it's big, and we're talking about what could be the biggest sports thing in history. Like, let's be honest here. A Sunday at Augusta and Tiger Woods is within a couple shots or in contention. Are you telling me that it's not the most biggest draw in sports that day? Like, there's no way. Of course it is. I mean, it's huge.
It's massive. So, okay, I just want to run a couple numbers by you, okay?
Okay.
I just want to run a couple numbers by you. Mm-hmm. So, I was all prepared for him to come on the show.
But we were doing it late. I knew he wasn't going to make it late, but it's fine. We'll speak for him.
Yeah, that's fine. So I was all ready, and I had all the stats out, and I had a whole stat sheet, and I was all prepared. I was like, oh, yeah.
We're going to get him on, though. So, we're going to get him on one day. We're going to get him on.
We'll have to. Yeah, we're going to have to. So these are some of the career stats, okay, we're talking. Everybody knows we got 14 majors to 5 majors as far as Phil and Tiger are concerned, okay? We've got Tiger has a 87% cut-made ratio, and Phil Mickelson has an 83%, which is phenomenal for how many Phil has played. Mm-hmm. Okay, Phil has 42 wins. Tiger has 79 total tour wins. Tiger has made $30 million playing golf more than Phil Mickelson. Tiger Woods has a record for in 2008, every single shot that he hit that year was worth $4,182. Every golf shot he hit in 2008. That is phenomenal. The closest person to him was Rory McIlroy in 2012 when he won two majors. He had $2,000 a shot. Phil Mickelson's never even been in the discussion. So when you take all that into account and you take in the Tiger Tracker, the Tiger golf games, the bringing just different people to the golf course. Tiger made Nike golf. Nike was not in golf before Tiger.
No.
Tiger made them, and when Tiger fell, Nike is out of making golf clubs. They do not make golf clubs anymore. Tiger's not even playing them. Tiger Woods is to golf what Michael Jordan was to basketball. Tiger Woods is one of the most recognizable athletes, crossover athletes in the world. So the only legitimate response to somebody who looks you in the face and tells you that Phil Mickelson is better than Tiger Woods is...
Yeah, a great big farting sound.
That is the fucking response.
No, it's true. And there's nothing that compares, let's be honest here. I mean, he's huge for the world of golf, and I don't get me wrong, and that's the thing that maybe when my dad and I were arguing this topic earlier, was that I do not dislike Phil Mickelson. I like him. Do I think Phil Mickelson is good for golf? Of course he is, but I'll tell you what, I don't have a Phil Mickelson Tiger or Phil Mickelson tracking app on my phone. I have a Tiger Woods tracking app on my phone.
I think the only time you'd be tracking Phil Mickelson is when it's about his insider trading.
Yeah. You know what? It probably wouldn't be a bad idea now that I'm into stocks. Phil Mickelson might be the guy. Exactly. It's not the same. I love Rory McIlroy. No, McIlroy.
You can tie in everything. You can take everything into account. All the intangibles. Like, Phil is super entertaining to watch, and Phil, you know, I mean, it's not like Phil hasn't had a phenomenal career. I mean, we're talking, like, I made the comparison the other day to you, and I still think it stands. We're making the comparison between like Gretzky and Steve Yzerman. We're taking a guy who had a phenomenal career. Yzerman, Hall of Famer, first ballot, no question. But you don't compare those two. And the only reason you compare Phil Mickelson to Tiger is because they played in the same generation. Everybody was hoping Phil and Tiger were going to turn into this rivalry. It never panned out, man. It never panned out that
well. It was always a rivalry. They didn't like each other. They didn't like each other for a lot of years. And that was more so of a tournament playing.
If you were Phil Mickelson, why would you like Tiger?
No. But they do now. Oh, well,
oh,
Phil Mickelson,
buddies now, yeah.
They're close, but they're close now because they're older, they matured. But in the day, yeah, why would you? And they had problems, and Tiger Woods was Tiger Woods, and Phil was Phil. And let's be honest, in the modern era, nobody's won more Masters than Tiger than Phil. And then it's everybody else, right? There is a rivalry. But it wasn't that close of a rivalry. You had a rivalry, if you want to put it in hockey. But it was like Mario Lemieux with Jagr. Yes, there was a rivalry, but they were on the same team, and Jagr was great without him. But he was never as good when he was there.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking rivalry. I mean, if you're gonna talk it like that, then you're talking. Remember the little mini rivalry they had between Pittsburgh and the Minnesota North Stars back in the day.
Right. Exactly. Who cares?
North Stars were a good team,
man.
They were nowhere near the talent.
They were nowhere near the talent. They were good, but they were nowhere near the talent. You're right.
Tiger Woods won the 2000 U.S. Open.
It was right.
by 15 strokes. I want you to. I want that to settle in. Okay.
No, not I know. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
I want to
make
sure that I got
this. We can't stay on Tiger too long, but I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. We've hit the 15-minute mark on talking about Tiger.
All right, good.
But I understand. I got to throw you a timeline once in a while. I got to throw you a timeline.
It's
a new system of the show.
It's like Tiger is just as Tiger. So, all right, we're carrying on.
He is Tiger, and I will be tuned in tomorrow as well as you will, and I will have this podcast online before it comes on, so if anybody does hear it before then, they will know that that's what we're doing.
Dun, 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 dun.
Can you put some... But moving on, not that I want to, because I love talking about Tiger, don't get me wrong, and it is a fascinating thing about sport, and I'm glad that we got there, and I'm glad that we got to talk about it. But we have to move on because we only get so many minutes during a 2-week period to be able to talk. You know?
I hear you. I feel
you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I spent doing today? And I spent today watching and yesterday my 11-year-old play in a floor hockey tournament. And I'm going to tell you something. As a sports fan, I was captivated by an 11-year-old girl hockey tournament. Captivated. And I mean,
was it good hockey?
It was I wouldn't say it was like watching Connor McDavid, but it was exciting hockey. You know, that was good. Thank you.
No, I just want you to remember something, okay? So like I was like today I was with my daughter all day. She's 2. She's adorable. She's the butt. And I watched her slide down the slide today, and that was pretty captivating. So
yeah, wasn't it? Isn't
so
it though?
The hockey,
no, but what I'm saying is,
it had been terrible. But you're looking at it through parent.
No. But I'm telling you, like... I watched even the games in between, and there's something exciting about watching, and there's other parents going bananas, and And the ref, he's an idiot, and you know, he's that high school gym teacher. He's like 24.
Are you yelling
old.
At the ref?
No, I didn't yell. I wanted to. There was a woman who got kicked out by the ref because she got mad at the ref. I thought he was a moron.
That's a referee for an 11-year-old hockey game.
It was. He's a gym teacher. He's like 24. You know, that guy is like totally makes you embarrassed about your body, but... You know, he decided to become a teacher and, you know...
And be ripped.
Gym
so
teacher.
every mom in the whole thing is like, oh...
Absolutely. Like, why isn't he the father of my son or daughter?
Yeah. They're looking at you and they're like, ugh. Your
no,
belly
absolutely.
Button looks like a smile.
It was one of those things where... No, but I was captivated. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was funny.
By what?
And
by hockey or his body?
His body was, I mean, his sports was amazing. The hockey.
the hockey, yeah.
And my daughter did well. They made it to the bronze medal game. They lost. They lost a hard-fought game. They were down 6-1. They made it 6-5. They almost beat the undefeated team in the semifinals. It was a great time.
That's exciting hockey.
Yeah, they were down 6-1, and they made it 6-5. Yeah.
The epic comeback. What was this team called?
They came out flat. So
they had to play 60 minutes.
They had to fight back, and they did, but it was a little bit too little too late. The game before that in the semifinals that got them into the bronze medal game, undefeated team. They're amazing, this Notre Dame team. And they smoked them yesterday. The Notre Dame team smoked my daughter's team. They come out. It was 5-1, and they come out today. And they almost beat him. It was 2-1, and it was a great game. And, you know, as a sports fan, it's funny. You look at just, you know, 11-year-old girls just going at it. They're playing. They're fighting. They're doing a great job. And I mean, I was captivated. I was drawn into this, like, excited. I was sitting there looking at the, like, you know, the timeline. Okay, so if they win this game, they're going to go on to this game. They're going to be on at 115. And if they're at 115, if they win, they're going to be on at 4. If they lose, you're going to be at 315. You're going to play for a bronze medal, but they're going to have to play the second game to play. Like, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, why am I so captivated by this? And it's like, it's sport. I think it's amazing. And it is your children, but you're excited for the whole team. And they had a big team. They had a lot of players. And my daughter's one of the better ones on the team. And it was fun to watch. And you know, I enjoyed my Saturday today. And I did not get a chance to watch Tiger live. I did, however, during certain parts of certain games, caught, you know, Tiger Tracker on my app. You know, I'm only human.
That's nice. I'm glad you had a good time, Bill.
I did have a good time, and I thought that I would share that with you and our viewers or listeners, as a matter of fact. But back to the wonderful world of sport. We had some trades go down in football recently.
Yeah.
And I thought this was interesting. I think this is really interesting to me. And there's a few trades that are going on, or a few even transactions, if you will. First, we'll get to the trade. Cleveland Browns get themselves Tyrod Taylor. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not sure, man, to be honest with you. I'm kind of trying to figure out what they're going to do with their draft pick. I really thought they were going to take a QB, number one overall, man, and now that they picked up Tyrod Taylor, I mean, I can't see Taylor being a backup, but maybe they're still going to pick a QB and use Taylor in the interim while they're grooming this guy, perhaps.
I don't think they're going to pick a QB. I don't. And where I wanted to go with this is I think they're going to pick a running back. And running backs, it's a weird thing. I was looking up and I heard about it before, is they don't get picked as the first overall pick very often.
No.
In fact, usually it's either a quarterback or it's a defensive player that gets picked as a first overall pick. Defense end, the list goes on. There's some big players to pick from, but never a running back. It's not too often. But there is a big running back in this year's draft, and they're calling this guy generational. Saquon, if I'm pronouncing it wrong, I've never heard it live. I don't watch it. Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State. And this guy is supposed to be the real deal. Apparently, he's supposed to be really good. And apparently, he's blowing away some great college stats. Over 5,000 yards from scrimmage with 51 offensive touchdowns in 3 years, not 1 year, but in 3 years. This guy's supposed to be a real deal. Now, what's interesting about that is that they're going to go after a running back that they think Tyrod Taylor is sufficient enough. Sufficient. Not good, but sufficient enough to slowly build a team around. Do you think the Cleveland Browns are going to go after a running back this season?
See, here's my problem with it, man, is that I don't think that Tyrod Taylor is a franchise quarterback.
He's not.
He's good.
He's not.
He's good.
He's not.
He's not old, though, either.
No, so, he's not old, I mean, but he's not good. He's not that good.
He could get into... I mean, I'm the kind of guy, I'm a firm believer that you build your offense from the quarterback first and then move through it, right? Get a quarterback, build an O-line, pick up your running back, I mean, near the end.
You know, you need a running back, but there's lots of teams that don't have, like, a top five running back, but have two, like, mediocre running backs who do that, and they do excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, so we got, like, look at L.A. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, like, one of the best running backs in the fucking league. I mean, are they a real threat for the Super Bowl?
No, but do you not think when the Cleveland Browns...
When Dax Prescott went down, I mean, that was it, right?
But does not the Cleveland Browns need to start somewhere? They've been an absolute laughingstock. They're a joke. They're a disgusting team.
That was Ezekiel Elliott plays for Dallas. Sorry.
Yes. They're awful, though. They're awful. The Browns. They're disgusting. And do they not need something to try to build around? And maybe this is a different look at what they want to build around. Is that...
Well, they also have the number
Maybe we'll
four
get Tyrone Taylor. Maybe we'll do something else. Maybe we've always went after quarterbacks that doesn't work out. Manziel didn't work out. All these other players didn't work out. Maybe we need something. And they're the Edmonton Oilers of football when it comes to getting first overall picks. And it's like, something's got to work, right? Something's got to work. Maybe the running back. Maybe this is the time that maybe the running back works for them.
Maybe, man. I hear he is a generational player. Mm-hmm. I really don't know that much about him, so I can't.
I didn't until recently.
Stats, but I hear
I
he's
didn't until recently.
He's killing it.
Yeah, I did until recently, but it's interesting, and they've been doing a little bit of work, and they've been trading away for some picks and this and that, and Cleveland. I gotta think that somebody's thinking, Jesus, we gotta turn this thing around. I mean, we've been a joke for so long. How we have to try to be competitive some way, somehow. So maybe they've got a plan. Maybe they're thinking of a plan that we don't see.
Perhaps. I mean, you can't imagine being. Did they not go 0-16 this year?
They did. They're
pretty
a joke.
Sure they did.
They've literally been a joke for a long time. I can't remember them having a winning season in a long time. They have been a joke, but it's interesting. Tyrone Taylor trade. We'll see what happens. I don't think he's a generational player. I agree with you there. I think he's not that good, but he's sufficient enough. Maybe he's good enough to slowly build a team. Slowly generate some kind of team and build their way out of the basement, and maybe that they figure that getting a quarterback now and not worrying about it at the draft, maybe worrying about a running back, maybe worrying about something else. Who knows?
Well, there's some options in the NFL right now, and I mean, and you have like the Cleveland Browns, correct me if I'm wrong, have the number one pick and the number four.
That's right, they do. But
so could they not have kept the number one pick, traded the number four for a better quarterback?
But why worry about
a third
it? Maybe they want a number one. Maybe they want number one to get this. Maybe they want number one to get that. Maybe they want number one to get the running back. Maybe they want number four to get a high end defensive player. They need help on all fronts. I would imagine if you're the Cleveland Browns, you don't want to trade away those top end picks right now.
Well, probably not.
NFL's a little bit different, where the NHL is pick number 27 could easily be playing in the NFL next year. Whereas pick number 27 in the NHL may never see the NHL, you know. So,
Are you away from the microphone, or what are you
no,
doing?
No, I'm not. Am I? I've been in and out. I haven't got. I did order my new nice microphone. I did tell you that. It's not in yet, as you can tell.
It's not in, like your sex life.
Oh, I feel like.
Hey, who?
I want to comment, but now that I've asked my dad to listen to the show.
That's fair. Just like, I'm hitting it all the time, Ken.
Yeah. There's a violin string there that we don't want to hit. Yeah.
Are you going to cut it out, or are you going to add like some funny sound in there?
At this time. Dad, this is funny. No. Yes, maybe so.
Maybe so.
Kind of like it. But anyways, that's the Cleveland Browns. But sticking with football, another interesting thing that on my radar this week is the Seattle Seahawks, who I don't think are interesting, but are interesting in the fact that we pay attention to them. They've been a top dog team for a long time. And it seems like they're kind of parting ways with a lot of their veterans that got them to where they were with the Bennett trade earlier this week. And now the release of Sherman just yesterday, I believe it was, or if not, maybe Thursday. And Sherman's been picked up by the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, they signed him for three years for $39
million. Yeah, interesting. Tell me more. Can you tell me more? I feel like you're not telling me more.
I'm not telling you more. I have nothing else to say. I'm kind of shocked, man. I'm a little surprised that they released him.
I was hoping you were going to talk more because
they didn't want to pay him an option. And they released him with, like, it almost sounded like there was intention to re-sign him. You know, like one of those moves that teams do where they're like, oh, we're gonna let you opt out of your contract for the last year to re-sign you at a higher rate or
maybe
or whatever. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like LeBron did it a couple times and Kevin Durant, Steph Curry have done it. They just opt out of the last year of their contract to re-sign with the team. I kind of thought that's what was happening. And then I was a little shocked when I heard that he signed with San Fran. Bill.
I was hoping you were going to talk longer. Yeah.
Why? What are you doing? Are you touching yourself?
No. I unplugged for a minute because my stupid-ass, gay-ass, frickin' mic is being awkward today.
So I'm required to just carry your arse while
I
you
thought you were
going to
carry on. I talk a lot here. Like, I was expecting maybe a little bit of help. Like, I thought we were going to hold hands here and frolic into the sunset, but I feel like I'm frolicking by myself because I got to carry the
I don't frolic.
Show.
I will get on a two-man
I'm the goddamn hunchback of fucking Notre Dame. My back's so heavy from carrying your ass. I don't...
Man, that would involve cardio, Bill. You don't do cardio.
I do cardio. I do play ball hockey for a living. That is one thing I can say I do.
Wait,
cardio.
Wait,
I can't lift the fuck out of a barbell, but I can do cardio.
I'm just saying. I don't want to go off into the sunset with you, but I will jump on a two-man tandem.
You know what? We've been in the sunset together.
We have. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice moment.
It was nice. I still have the picture of you awkwardly jumping in the sunset.
Yeah, what a terrible vert, eh?
What's that?
Just like, well, my vertical is just terrible. Such a white guy vert.
The best part is, I don't know, fans, but the best part is watching you concentrate on your jump. You were so, like, into this, I'm going to make the best jump ever during this photo
phase. Man, it was a photo op, man. I had to get vert.
And my wife and I were totally like, oh my god, we just want to be done with fucking photos phase. But everybody else is like, I'm going to have the best jump ever. And then you have my cousin who, like, jumps, like 3 inches vertical, you know what I mean? And like everybody else, you got like a 4 foot vertical because you've been like practicing this for 6 months.
Hey man, whatever. It wasn't a competition, but if it was, I won.
You were winning out of intensity alone.
Whatever, man. Heartbeat.
You
heart
brought
will,
the
heart,
intensity into the
heart will beat
wedding
skill
photo
when skill has no heart.
Capture moment.
Why do you sit around with your wife and just shit talk me? I didn't shit talk you.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, I don't tell you about it on an internet podcast.
You know why you didn't shit talk me? Because you didn't invite me to your wedding.
Now the truth comes out.
At minute 44 of episode like 14.
There it is. There it is. Now the truth has come out because he wasn't invited to
the
wedding.
Let's bring our listeners into view. No. You invited me and then didn't invite me.
Then rescinded the invite.
I'm laughing but hurt all at the same time.
Yeah, that still sounds like tears of bitterness.
Yeah. Hi. Do you mind being at my wedding? And then like 6 months later, hey, I got married. It's like, wow. I thought I was going.
You were supposed to be standing, you prick.
Yes, it was. I know. I was like, I don't even remember. I was like, I kind of remember you asking me to stand, but then it like all fell apart, so I didn't want to say it.
I did ask you to stand. Yeah, well, you know what? These are good talks.
I'm glad this is recorded for all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done. I'm not carrying on any further from here. This is it. I'm just acknowledging the
bailing
facts.
Out. There is bailing out. He's got a pail into a little boat, and he is bailing out.
Oh, buddy,
out.
I am shoveling the water out of here. Like, just anything I can to stay afloat right now. The one rule of thumb when you find yourself in a hole.
Remember how I had you beside my side? I'm just saying, multiple years later.
When you find yourself in a hole, the best plan is to stop digging. That's step one.
I wouldn't trade you by my side, not being by my side or being by my side for the world. Not that being said, you did mention basketball in your last little rant. Let's get into some basketball before we head out for the evening.
You want to talk about the Raptors being win over the Rockets?
Oh, do I? Not just the Rockets.
And, the 17-game win streak Rockets?
The 17-game win streak. We're talking about the Raptors, who are the first in the East, a 2.5-game lead over the Boston Celtics, a 10.5-game lead over Cleveland. And yeah, I couldn't think of their name for a moment.
Who are you?
But anyways, who are they? Doesn't matter who they are. They're 10.5 games back. And let's be honest, I know you listen to some sports, and I know you know that there has been a lot of disrespect to the Toronto Raptors. And that the most of the NBA can't take the Toronto Raptors seriously. Are we there yet, or do we need a playoff run? Are we there to take Toronto Raptors seriously, given that they were the first team in the NBA to reach the playoffs, clinch playoffs, and that they have beaten some very good teams. They put up a great fight against Golden State. They beat Cleveland twice this year. They've beat Houston twice this year, and they beat Houston with all their players in the game, and you know, as much as the game could have been either way, the fact of the matter is that Toronto came out, they beat them in the first quarter, Houston was chasing the whole time, Toronto held off, they beat them, and this is an important game. It was a big game and a statement game. And including Houston was trying to win that game. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's like, "Well, you know, is it a big game? Is regular season?" Houston was only 0.5 games up on Golden State. Golden State's right up their ass right now, so you can bank that 17 win streak for Houston was still important to keep continuing because Golden State, they're right on their ass the whole time. Big game, or
which is okay.
Or
are we getting
too excited for anything?
I'm going to start out with this. So, isn't it a crazy statistic that the Houston Rockets needed a 17-game win streak to be 0.5
isn't it of
a game
isn't
up on
though?
Golden State?
So, do you think Golden State still is the team to beat? I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Absolutely,
I do.
100%.
But is Houston so legit though? Is a win from the Raptors against Houston, who Harden is playing MVP worthy, is not a beating them, beating their streak, the Raptors, who nobody seems to take seriously, the Toronto fucking Raptors. Can they? Are they serious? Are they a real threat now?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, I want to hear it.
No, they're not a real threat, and this is why I'm going to tell you they're not a real threat.
But go ahead.
Okay. So one, these records. When you're looking at Toronto's record, the first thing you said was that Toronto is the first team to make the playoffs. Well, they're also in the East, which makes a fucking big difference.
Not that much when you look at the record.
Being in the East compared to the West is a fucking huge difference. Now, the Toronto Raptors play the majority of their games against Eastern Conference teams, so those records can be a little inflated just because of that. I mean, Golden State and Houston, I mean, they're playing in the toughest conference by far. The West is by far tougher. Okay, number two, I can't legitimately see, I don't see, so Toronto doesn't have like a legitimate 3-point arsenal. DeRozan is a better 3-point shooter than he's ever been. Kyle Lowry can shoot the three. They've got some good perimeter defenders. I don't see them being good enough to beat Cleveland four times. Four times out of seven, I don't see it. Boston, I mean, I could see them beating Boston.
I disagree. I have to disagree with you so bad.
No. What I need to see from Toronto to legitimately take them seriously as a playoff team
is them win.
They don't have to win. I need to see a deep run.
Okay, but that's what you're saying, is that you need them to see a deep run. But what convinces you right now? What could convince you right now that they could beat Cleveland? And I'm telling you right now, being the top five in both offense and defense categories in the entire league, and the fact that they are holding steady, and the fact that their team is just all around solid. The Cavaliers are not as good as they have once been. The Raptors are a better team than the Cavaliers on paper. Now, where I do agree, or maybe kind of hold pat, is that the Raptors have never been able to prove that they've been a playoff team. DeRozan and Lowry have been shitty playoff performers. But right now in the regular season, are you telling me right now you don't think the Raptors have the ability to beat the Cavaliers?
No, I don't.
Ooh, I disagree. I think they are that good. I think they're finally that good that if everybody is competing on the level that they know how to compete, and yes, we all know, okay, the Raptors have the most amazing bench in the league right now. And we all know that in the playoffs, the bench doesn't matter. But I think if DeRozan and Lowry are supposed to be that good, and Ibaka is as good as he is, and the rest of the lineup is able to perform the way they are, I think the Raptors are a legitimate threat to come out of the East.
this is my problem with it, man. And I mean, I want you to look at Cleveland's, I'm trying to find it.
I'm not disputing the fact that LeBron is LeBron. I'm just saying.
And LeBron,
they look good. They look better than they ever have. Let's put it that way. And I think better than they ever have. And let's put it this way: when they went to the conference finals against Cavaliers 2 years ago, and they lost in 7 or 6, they're better than that now. And the Cavaliers are not better than that now. That's my argument.
Well, which Cavaliers are you looking at? Are you looking at the Cavaliers that
The one they just traded for. I don't care that you traded for all this young talent. They are not ready to be a championship caliber team because they traded away everybody. Rebuttal?
I think they're going to come out of the East. Are they going to win?
Games behind. No. You think the Cavaliers are coming out of it? I think the Cavaliers are going to beat. I bet you there's a part of me that believes the Cavaliers are going to be beaten before they even see the Raptors.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Well, what do you want to put on the line?
The fact that I'm a better host than you.
So I have to say it?
You have to say it the day that the Cavaliers are not in the finals. You have to say that William DeJarlais is a better host. And it's not Bill. It's William DeJarlais is a better host.
Okay. All right. So let me just clarify here. I just want to clarify. So they have to make it to the finals?
Well,
or they have to. Are you telling me
that you don't think the Cavaliers, like in your mind, that I think that's a fair bet. The Cavaliers have made it. LeBron has made it for eight straight seasons. I think that's fair. Okay. I'm saying the Cavaliers do not make
Cleveland
the finals.
Cleveland has to make the finals. If Cleveland doesn't make the finals, then I will come on the show, and
the Raptors make it, if they both don't make the finals, then we're both pieces of shit.
That's fine. If they don't have to make it. Toronto doesn't have to make it.
I'm willing to throw that down. I'm willing that if they both didn't make it, then we can call it a draw and we're both a piece of shit and we don't know anything about sports.
All right, that's fine.
But I'm saying the Raptors have the ability to make the final and the Cavaliers have the ability to not make it close as everybody thinks they will. I know LeBron can go LeBron. I'm not disputing that LeBron can be LeBron. I'm not disputing the fact that he can, but I don't know if they're deep enough, and the Raptors showing the way they've played other teams this year, man, they are showing that the resiliency, and they're showing a different system that we've ever seen before, and I think they're ready to be.
All right.
I think they're ready to overthrow.
Okay, so this is hold on a second now. You've tossed out your terms. I have to come on and do that, right? Okay, fair enough. What if I win? You have to attach a post to the next video after that the next podcast, a video of you doing the truffle shuffle.
I'll do it. I'm in agreement.
and you better do it good. I want you to mean it. When Cleveland is in the finals, I want a video attached to it with a link so you can click on it and watch Bill do the fucking truffle shuffle.
William or Bill.
Oh, you're calling. Oh, it's Bill. It's fucking Bill. It's fucking Bill. If Cleveland makes the finals, it's fucking Bill, and you're gonna say, "Hi, my name is Bill, and this is the Trouble Show."
Fair enough. That's the deal we're gonna make, and then that is on. It is on. And I believe the Toronto Raptors are gonna make the NBA finals this year, and that All is right. my quote unquote prediction. And
Start warming up, buddy. Get limber.
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. When you admit to the world that I am the be all and end all and hosts, that's all that matters in my
mind. That's all that matters. All right. And I'm not gonna lie to you that the video of you doing the truffle shuffle is gonna be like my Facebook cover. For pretty much forever. I'm going to send it to everybody. Anybody I know, you're going to be doing the fucking truffle shuffle.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I want like some good music to it too. I want like something catchy.
There's no good music. You know what? I'm going to bring the fucking... You know what I'm going to bring out for that one? I'm going to... If that happens, I will bring out the I've Got the Power.
That's perfect.
The truffle shuffle with I've Got the Power.
Yes.
I think we're ready. I think the world is ready for that, except it won't happen.
It is a bet, sir. You are.
It is a bet. Handshake has been done. That being said, I would say everybody has enjoyed this episode. What do you think?
I think it was good.
I think it was very good. I think
I enjoyed our time.
I enjoyed our time. And I figured it was informative. And it was about time that we got together. And I know that we'll be chatting again very soon.
Because I'm on day shift.
I'm on the date. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
The Commodore's
on day shift
work.
Though, so I could do it after work at 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock, so we might get another show to you quicker and more efficiently. And I definitely think that we'll have things to talk about as soon as possible, depending on the outcome tomorrow in golf, and of course with the hockey season coming to an end. And, of course, baseball season coming.
We never got to the Red Wings.
We never did get to the Red Wings. And I was actually ready to go that direction, considering we were on minute 59. Do you want to go there?
No, I got to go to bed.
Yes, you do, because you're old.
I'm 2 hours ahead of you. It's 10:44.
Yeah, it's 10:44. Well, we will get to. We are going to introduce, and we didn't get to this time around, but we are going to introduce a new segment. We still haven't gotten to some older segments that we've neglected. But we will introduce a new segment coming up in the next show. I promise. Is the basically spotlight team of the week. It could be any team in any league at any time, and we're gonna get to it. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna basically break down that team for that week, and stay tuned for that in the next episode of Where There Is a Will, There Is a Waylon. And that's basically what I got this week. What about you? Is that it? Is that all?
That's a fucking rap.
That is a fucking rap. And I wish I knew how to rap. I don't.
I
leave a tall hole in a single bound, a single now, got nobody in a single now. That's it.
Whoa.
Nice.
You went slim shady.
I went slim shady. You were basic. Why's your face red, man? You wasted. Old school. That being
it's
said,
it's not really that old school. If you were going old school, I mean, I don't know. That's not what I would go with.
You want to go with Slim Shady?
No, I think if I was going for me personally, old school. We have a thing at work. We have this little board with a square. We and it's the quote of the day, and I wrote in there. How did the quote go? It was birthdays were the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty.
I don't like it.
You like it. Yeah. Just sipping champagne, man.
Yeah, sipping champagne. All right. That's all for now. Till next time.
Ta-ta.
And of course, don't forget to catch us on YouTube. Under my name, under the channel William Desjardins, and also catch us on Bring Us Anywhere, bring us in your pocket when you're at work and when you are doing other fun things. You can have us in your ear if you listen to us on Castbox under, again, William Desjardins, and or you will find us under the name Where There Is a Will, There Is a Waylon. Check us out.